This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
One of the least spoken of things regarding the Christmas story and the history of the birth of Christ has to do with how Jesus, led by his parents, were forced to flee because of persecution. That's right, they were forced to flee Bethlehem, the house of bread, the place where David had been born, the place where it had been foretold by the prophets that the King of Israel, the Savior of the world, would be born. They were forced to flee. They were forced to flee to Egypt. It goes like this. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Oh, that's the famous question that set it all out. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, asking, where is he that is born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. How troubled was he? He was so troubled that he actually deceived the wise men, or attempted to deceive them, told them to, when you found him, come and report to me that I might come and worship him also, even though he intended to kill him. Why had he intended to kill him? Well, because of that little word, king. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Well, the rest of that story is being warned of God in a dream that they should not depart to Herod. The wise men departed to their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. And out of that, of course, we know how Herod, when he discovered that his motivation, his wicked motivation, had been found out, he decided, okay, I'm going to fix the problem. And he went in and ordered his soldiers to kill every boy, baby, 2 years of age and under, in and around the surroundings of Bethlehem. The original persecution, even at the birth of Christ. I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and it seems today, friends, that nothing has changed. In fact, persecution is increasing. Listen to the President of the United States, just briefly.
They look into this matter and to report back to me, and I mean like
vitamins, and we look.
Well, it's interesting. The president's message seems
not only Nigeria is all over. We stand ready, willing, and able to save our great Christian population around the world. This is not going to happen. The killing of Christians is not going to happen. Christianity is facing an existential threat in Nigeria. Thousands and thousands of Christians are being killed. Radical Islamists are responsible for this mass slaughter. I am hereby making Nigeria a country of particular concern. That's a legal definition. When the Christians or any such group is slaughtered, like is happening in Nigeria, 3,100 versus 4,476 worldwide. What horrible numbers. Something has to be done. I am asking Congressman Riley Moore, together with Chairman Tom Cole and the House Appropriations Committee, to immediately look into this matter and to report back to me. and I mean like immediately. The United States cannot stand by while such atrocities are happening in Nigeria and numerous other countries. It's not only Nigeria, it's all over.
Challenge the Christian church, because I believe this is the most ignored commandment of the Decalogue to our...
Well, that leads us to the Vice President of the United States, who was addressing the gathering at the Turning Point USA Convention, America Fest. Listen to his words.
And over the last 50 years, there has been a singular focus, a war that has been waged on Christians and Christianity in the United States of America. And let me say, of all the wars that Donald Trump has ended, that is the one we're proudest of.
He's going to go on in just a moment.
And let me say, of all the wars that Donald Trump has ended, that is the one we're proudest of. For decades, the left has labored to push Christianity out of national life. They've kicked it out of the schools, out of the workplace, out of the fundamental parts of the public square. Freedom of religion transformed into freedom from religion. And in a public square devoid of God, we got a vacuum. And the ideas that filled that void preyed on the very worst of human nature rather than uplifting it. They told us not that we were children of God, but children of this or that identity group. They replaced God's beautiful design for the family that men and women could rely on and turn to one another, with the idea that men could turn into women so long as they brought the right bunch of pills from Big Pharma. They had all the religious fervor of a zealous convert without any of the grace or forgiveness of a true Christian. Scripture tells us, by your fruits ye shall know them.
Well, there you go. The Vice President of the United States addressing very powerfully the Turning Point USA group this few days ago, and the President of the United States addressing the country, claiming that persecution is presenting an existential threat to the America and to the world. Do you think that might indicate that perhaps we ought to be talking about it a little bit? Perhaps it might give a certain amount of validation to my latest book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, to realize also the persecution of Christians began actually in the persecution of Christ himself, or the attempted persecution of Christ himself, even at his very birth. Even at his very birth. How many Jewish young boys were butchered by King Herod in his quest to destroy the King of Glory? Today on Viewpoint, we take a further look, a deeper look, deeper dive into this issue of persecution at Christmas.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at Save Us.
Not only in Nigeria, it's all over, Donald Trump said. Christianity is facing an existential threat in the United States and worldwide. Really? Why is it that we don't consider that? Are our pastors considering that? Has your pastor been talking about that? Has your pastor been making an effort to try to prepare the people in his congregation for very dangerous times? Or is it just business as usual? Everything will be wonderful. Everything will be cool. You won't have to be concerned about persecution because, after all, we're just all out of here. You don't have to be worried about a single thing. You don't have to be concerned about what Jesus warned about, that the Apostle Paul warned about, that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You don't have to be concerned about that because a new theology has come through, that is a new theology that goes back years, that says, no problem, no worry. You're an American, by the way. You're exceptional, and you don't have to worry about a tribulation. You don't have to worry about any problems like persecution because that's for them, whoever them is. And so it's not talked about. People are not prepared. People are not prepared. And pastors themselves can become the object of this problem. It did in Colorado, North Glen, Colorado. Just days ago, Christian ministers and a number of volunteers from several churches in North Glen, Colorado. They were setting up tables in a public park preparing to distribute hot meals to the homeless, as they'd done every Tuesday and Thursday for more than 4 years. However, on this particular day, the church's ministers had to leave early because they had court dates on city-issued tickets for violating a city rule. What was it? Well, among the church volunteers at the park that day, a week before Christmas, were the pastors who had been represented by the ACLJ. These were faithful men driven by a deep conviction to live out their calling. They simply were following the biblical instructions from Matthew 25 to 35, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. And inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it unto me, my brethren. The ministers had to report for their scheduled first court date on the criminal citations issued by the city of North Glen in Colorado, outside Denver, for simply gathering in a public park to exercise their faith. It was officials in the city just north of Denver who passed a targeted ordinance prohibiting recurring gatherings of five or more in public parks, leading to criminal citations against these faithful pastors. In the courtroom, the city begged the judge to delay the proceedings. What was their hope? That future amendments to their unconstitutional ordinance might somehow save their law. And it didn't work. Here in Denver, Colorado, North Glen, pastors were brought to the court and cited criminally for gathering people to minister to the poor, to pass out food, meals to the homeless, and so on, which they had done for 4 years. But the Antichrist spirit of Denver, Colorado, and North Glen, and the leaders of that city decided they don't want anything about that Jesus Christ, and they don't want anybody who believes in him to be carrying out in public anything related to the Bible. And so, if you gather more than three or four people at once, you're a criminal. In other words, you can have two or three people chatting together privately, but if you have more than that, you actually have committed a criminal infraction against the state of Colorado and against North Glen, the city, and you need to be punished under color of law. It's called persecution, friends. Are you familiar with the word? And that's why our president, Donald Trump, said, look, it's not just happening in Nigeria, it's happening right here in America, and it's happening all over the world. It's an existential threat, he said. Existential means it's putting at risk the very existence of the practice of the Christian faith. and yet we still don't quite resonate with it. Still don't quite resonate with it. So maybe what we need to do is hear from a pop star. Now, I don't know who this particular person is or was. Tina Minaj, she is a rapper. Apparently, she is a Christian rapper. At least she is strongly in favor of Christians. And she appeared and was interviewed at Turning Point USA at their America Fest gathering, interviewed by Erica Kurt, the surviving spouse of the one who was butchered, murdered for his faith. And so we want to hear from this rapper. What did she have to say about this? Would a rapper have anything to say about persecution that maybe somebody might should listen to?
Every time we pray and fellowship, we have to remember the people that are right now in this world hiding to pray and fellowship. And we have to pray for them. And first of all, Nigeria is a place I've always loved. Someone very dear to me, my pastor, is Nigerian. I have lots of Nigerian barbs. And so hearing that people are being kidnapped, and while they're in church, people are being kidnapped, people are being killed, brutalized, all because of their religion. And that should spark outrage in the great America. And that's what it did. And again, we're not backing down anymore. We are not going to be silenced by the bullies anymore, okay? Know that. Hear that. Receive that, bullies. We won't be silenced ever again. We will speak up for Christians wherever they are in this world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. A piece came out in WorldNet Daily today by Joe Kovacs, quoting Nicki Minaj, "We absolutely cannot have them in power." Nicki Minaj destroys Antichrist in government. She says, "Our spirit irritates them because when we speak, they get shown up. When the truth walks in the room, the lies hide." The pop superstar on Sunday gave an ominous warning against allowing people filled with the spirit of Antichrist to hold power in America. She was appearing with Erica Kirk at the Turning Point USA's America Fest in Phoenix, Arizona, and said it's not just Nigeria that's facing vicious persecution of those following teachings of Jesus. She said Christians have been persecuted right here in our country in different ways. So when we talk about Nigeria and other countries, know that prior administrations saw nothing wrong with that, and that's what was wrong with them, she said. "I truly feel," she said, "that there are people out there who felt good about chastising Christians right here in our country. And it's kind of really, really sick. We can't let people like that be in power. That's the truth. We absolutely cannot let people who have a problem with us worshiping God, we cannot have them in power." So why do they keep getting elected? Because there are ulterior motives that Americans have in electing such persons. Because they've been promised benefits. They got the gimme God blues. They're not so much interested in Jesus Christ. They're interested in what they can get from politicians who want to sell their souls to promise something to the people. So Nicki Minaj says, "When the truth walks in the room, the lies hide." They don't come out willingly. You got to pry it out of them. They hide because they don't want you to know what they really are behind closed doors. because even they know how evil it is to deprive people of worshiping God. She says, Minaj also said Christians need to remember their fellow believers across the world who are also facing deadly persecution. She was asked, did Barack Obama, Joe Biden promote Christian persecution? Her answer was yes. Well, no, I'm not sure. She said, we take for granted there, right now in this world, are people who cannot worship God as they please, where they please. She said, we take it for granted because we have it. We can't even imagine not having that right. But every time we pray in fellowship, we have to remember the people that are right now in this world hiding just to be able to pray and fellowship. We have to pray for them. Well, that's true. And we talk all about that in the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. And if you don't have the book, you really need to get it. It could well be the best Christmas present you could ever give to your family. Because if you don't prepare them for the times that even the President of the United States says now is an existential threat against Christians, yes, even in this country, you are playing the part of the fool. It's just unfortunate. You are. You have your finger in one ear, refuse to see hear out of the other ear, and you're playing pretend. Like putting your eye, your hands over your eye and say, look, God, you can't see me. It's time to take things seriously as Jesus did, as Paul did, as John did, as James did, and as Peter did. All of them talking about the coming persecution that would increase until the second coming of Jesus Christ. So at the first coming of Jesus Christ, you see, there was persecution that rose up for the king. Tried to kill Jesus. And an angel had to warn Joseph in a dream, get out of here, flee, get out of here as fast as you can, because there is going to be an effort by Satan himself through Herod to crush out the Christ child who will save the world from its sin. Now, if we see it that way, if we can understand that from the very get-go, as Jesus was being brought into the world as God's ultimate gift to humankind, that Satan himself inaugurated a level of persecution against followers of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who was a Jew. The Bible says salvation is of the Jews. And that's why anti-Semitism has risen so greatly against the Jewish people historically, even before Jesus' birth. In fact, a fellow by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, who claimed that he was God in the flesh, representative of the descendant of Alexander the Great's great empire, ruling out of Syria, came in and desecrated the temple, offered a swine upon the altar, killed every Jewish person he could find that had was willing to speak about their Jewish faith, because they were attempting to Hellenize the world. In other words, they wanted to create a completely one-world empire under Grecian rule where everybody would have to worship as the pagan Greeks did. If you did that, you were fine. If you didn't, you were not fine. Therefore, the Jewish people were the prime subjects of persecution that we call anti-Semitism. Many lost their lives in horrific ways. Then, just as many Christians in Nigeria are losing their lives in horrific ways. And people in Iran. When we get back, we'll talk about an Iranian court that has told sentences for 5 Christians. 40 years in prison. Why? We'll find out. If you don't have a copy of the book, When Persecution Comes, friends, you need to get it. It's a $25 book. Yours for $22. It's on our website, saveus.org.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
You might not think of persecution in the context of the first coming of Christ, the birth of the Savior of the world in a lowly manger. That might not just register because, well, it doesn't seem so nice. It doesn't have nice feelings about it. Well, I guarantee you that Mary and Joseph didn't have nice feelings either. In fact, they had been ordered, commanded by the emperor to show up in Bethlehem. They lived in Nazareth, to show up in Bethlehem because that was the region out of which Joseph and his heritage came. And they had to show up to be taxed. What a thrilling thing, right? You are very eager to show up to be taxed wherever you're required to do so, right? So that was the initial motivation, commanded by the emperor, Caesar Augustus, who claimed to be, as a Roman, the merger of deity and earthly government. Pontifex Maximus. And he ordered all. You see, that superseded the Greek Empire that had been defeated 150 years earlier. So Rome is now in power, the mighty Roman Empire in power when Jesus shows up, and Herod, the king of the Jews, was, shall we say, a deputized pawn of the Roman emperor to rule Judea and Samaria, to rule the promised land. The Romans had relabeled that area as Palestine. That was not its name, but the Romans gave it that name, and that's where it got the name Palestine. So in effect, there were no Palestinian people as such, just to let you know. There were no such people. There were Jews and Arabs who occupied the land that formerly had been called Canaan land, and now was the promised land restated as Israel, or Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, which the Romans occupying decided to call a more paganized understanding, Palestina. And that's where the persecution began. Roman persecution in and through Herod, their deputized king over the Jewish people, to make sure that no one would arise to threaten the Roman Empire. To threaten the Roman Empire. You see, that's how politicians view Christians. Politicians that are godless politicians look at Christians as threatening their rule, threatening their empire. And more, as globalism takes hold around the world and a one-world order is established, the greatest threat to globalism will be deemed true followers of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the one who was birthed under Roman rule, where Rome sought under Herod to eradicate him, and in the process killed who knows how many young babies, 2 years of age and under, all males, in order to make sure that this young child that the wise men had seen coming would not be able to rise and would be exterminated forever. But it didn't happen. God protected Jesus, the babe, from that extermination campaign. Rome will again have another extermination campaign, friends. The resurrected Roman Empire that has been formed, reformed, reconstituted just in the last few years is going to rule the world when Jesus comes. And all who are professing his name in righteousness and in truth are going to suffer persecution. Jesus said so. The Apostle Paul said so. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Why do you think you should be different than your Lord? Even there in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of things evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward, or will be your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets that were before you. And so they persecuted me, Jesus said, and will persecute you. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy 3:12 said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if you're not living godly in Christ Jesus, chances are you're not going to suffer persecution. So a lot of people, professing Christians, people who say they're Christians, are not living godly. Therefore, they'll say, you don't have to suffer persecution, just do what I do. Just live like I live. Don't let your life look so different than the rest of the world. Just live like the rest of the world. Claim Christ as your Savior. Isn't that what the Calvinists told us we could do? We could just name the name of Christ and say we believe in him, and we're in like Flint. We can live however we want to live, and we're saved. You see how deceptive that promise is? A way to avoid persecution. But if you try to avoid persecution, you actually don't have to worry about it, because you're not living godly in Christ Jesus, and very well may fall into the camp that Jesus described in Matthew chapter 7 when he said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, or who claims to be my follower is going to inherit the kingdom. Only those who do the will of my Father, in other words, obey my voice and live like it. So, are you prepared to stand in these times? Perilous times are promised to followers of Christ worldwide. The Apostle Paul talked about it. Peter talked about it. Persecution is unavoidable for true followers of Christ, and it's going to become more and more a thing. So, whether or not you think Donald Trump is a Christian, he certainly is trying to step up the fight to protect Christians, it would appear. And the Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance, as we have heard earlier in the program, is also claiming that this is one of the most important things that President Trump is doing. Now, you can agree with that. You can look cynically at it and say, I don't think so. He's got nefarious reasons for doing that. I can't answer that question. But he's coming out quite boldly. So, whether or not you think that he's sincere about it, take this for truth. And that is, if he's warning about persecution of Christians being an existential problem, not only for Nigeria, but for our country, and Christians all over the world, don't you think that should you should take heed and take and listen up and respond accordingly? Now, the interesting thing is that before all of this talk, about Nigeria, all of this talk politically within our country came about, 15 months ago, I wrote a book called When Persecution Comes. That preceded all of it. Why? Because I believe that God knew very well the time and the season. And in his mercy and in his grace, enabling power, he wanted his followers to listen and be prepared. So I wrote the book. And even my wife, who, you know, isn't all that, well, let's put it this way. She doesn't like to follow the news particularly because it's too unnerving for her. So she listens to me and I give her what there is. But when she read this book, she said, Chuck, this is not a book full of fear. This is a book of encouragement. This is a book of exhortation. This is a book of hope. And that's why I wrote it, because we need that. We need that in such a time as this. In fact, the return of Christ is called the blessed hope of the church. It lies straight ahead with the soon coming of our Lord. But that hope is going to be supremely tested to confirm your trust in mine, requiring preparation. So in the pages of this book, when persecution comes, you will, from the heart, engage in that preparation for the hope ahead. Are you ready? I hope you are. Get a copy. It's a $25 book, yours for $22, on our website, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Now, you may recall that for about a month, up to December 15th, we were providing an opportunity for our listeners to obtain all 11 copies of my book for the unbelievable consolidated price of $154. $154 would put all 11 of those books in your hands. It is a price that is so low that it's just beyond, in some respects, beyond all reason. It's way below the price, the already reduced prices of those books on our website. So that is still available to you. The reason we mentioned December 15th is because we wanted to make sure that those of you that wanted to get those books, in order to make sure you could get them by Christmas time, would have them. Obviously, we can't guarantee that now, but that opportunity is still open to you today, through the end of this month only, on the website, saveus.org.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
The House of
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Christmeyer. You recall that we began by looking at the birth of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, chapter 2. And when he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, that it might be fulfilled by the prophets, because that was when it was, where he was supposed to be born, in Bethlehem of Judea. It was the house of David, the house of bread, the house of David, the place where David was born. And Jesus would be of the line of David and would sit ultimately on the throne of David, as the prophet Isaiah had foretold in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. At the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon to establish it upon the throne of David forever. To establish his government upon the throne of David. So, he was born in the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, or the house of bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Right? Okay, so he was born there, and after he was born, the wise men came looking for him and went to King Herod and asked where he that was born king of the Jews was. And that took Herod by surprise, as did all the Jewish people in his, shall we say, in his administration there in Jerusalem. And so he connived to find out where this supposed king of the Jews was being born so that he could go in and take his life and eliminate that problem. That was the first persecution of the church. Jesus was the Lord of the church. He was born to be the Savior of the world. So he was the first one to experience, shall we say, Christian persecution as the Savior of the world. God had to warn him through, warn Joseph, his father, his surrogate father, to flee with the young child and Mary and go to Egypt until Herod was dead to protect the child. Now, God isn't necessarily going to provide a place for you and I to flee when persecution comes. So we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared to endure, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, he that endures to the end shall be saved. It doesn't mean he that lives to the end. It means he that presses on in faithfulness and obedience to the Lord, regardless of what happens, even if you lose your life in persecution, you have to endure to the end to be saved. You see, it's not the one who begins the race that wins the prize. You can get into the starting blocks and begin to run the race, and that doesn't give you any accolades whatsoever, no kudos whatsoever. Only when you cross the finish line, you see, and that's why the Apostle Paul wrote very clearly, so run that you may obtain. They run for a fleshly crown, but we run for an eternal crown. Don't get out of your lane. Run faithfully. Keep the faith. Endure to the end. And those who endure to the end shall be saved. All right. Now, all of that having been said, let us go back to the issue of persecution now. And we have this report. Iranian court upholds sentences for five Christians. An appeals court in Tehran has upheld the prison sentences of five Christians charged with so-called propaganda for engaging in religious activities. They were arrested in June of 2024 at their homes and workplaces. They were each sentenced to 7.5 years in prison in July for engaging in propaganda activity contrary to Islamic law due to overseas connections. They also received 7 months for propaganda against the system. Now, from the Iranian position, under Islamic law, anyone who does not agree with Islam and who enters into any kind of effort to oppose it is by definition a problem portraying propaganda against the system. But they were also promoting the Christian faith, which, according to Islam, is blasphemy. Why is that? Because Islam does not believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again. They believe in Jesus called Isa, but they do not believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again. They say that is blasphemy. And the penalty for blasphemy under Islam is death. So these guys, in one sense, you could say, well, they got off easy. 7.5 years in prison each. Their convictions were upheld on Tuesday by the appellate court there. According to a London-based group, the reports were that the accused were pressured into signing statements recanting their faith in the hopes of receiving lighter sentences. The Christians were convicted under sections of the Islamic Penal Code that ban actions like participating in Christian training courses in Turkey and online church services. They reportedly endured physical torture during pre-trial detention. One received an additional 17-month prison sentence for insulting Iran's supreme leader Ayatollah Khomeini on social media. So all five Christians must appear at civil court next week to face separate charges of insulting Islamic sanctities for having been present in a Zoom meeting in which a Christian leader living outside Iran is alleged to have said something that was considered to be critical of Islamic beliefs. Are you beginning to see the implications of this kind of thinking all across the world, friends? And it's not just coming from Islamic sources. It's coming from New Age sources. It's coming from one world globalist sources. So the President of the United States is absolutely right. It's an existential threat. Listen to him again.
Look into this matter and to report back to me. And I mean like
vitamins. And we
Nigeria, it's all over. We stand ready, willing, and able to save our great Christian population around the world. This is not going to happen. The killing of Christians is not going to happen. Christianity is facing an existential threat in Nigeria. Thousands and thousands of Christians are being killed. Radical Islamists are responsible for this mass slaughter. I am hereby making Nigeria a country of particular concern. That's a legal definition. When the Christians or any such group is slaughtered, like is happening in Nigeria, 3,100 versus 4,476 worldwide. What horrible numbers. Something has to be done. I am asking Congressman Riley Moore, together with Chairman Tom Cole and the House Appropriations Committee, to immediately look into this matter and to report back to me. And I mean, like, immediately. The United States cannot stand by while such atrocities are happening in Nigeria and numerous other countries. It's not only Nigeria, it's all over.
There it is. It's all over. It's in the United States of America. We've been watching it happen, friends. When Barack Obama spoke, I believe it was at Georgetown University, and there was an image of Jesus Christ in the background of where he was speaking. He ordered that that image be covered over. Barack Hussein Obama. That was an action of anti-Christian persecution. When Barack Obama was being not inaugurated, but when the Democrat Party was having its convention, I believe it was in 2012, they basically declared Obama Messiah. They did not want anything from the Bible, anything related to Christianity. In their platform, they were in one accord and consent to exclude anything Christian, anything from the Bible in their platform. Why? Because they're against Christianity and against Christians. Why was it that Barack Hussein Obama was declared to be the Messiah at least 25 times all over the world? They're against Christianity. They're also against the Jews. So they declared a Gentile who was not a follower of Jesus Christ to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. One of the key reporters and broadcasters said that when he even considered Barack Obama, it was as if he got chills going up and down his leg. You remember that, don't you? A teacher, an educator, a professor in one of America's universities declared Barack Obama her Jesus. Friends, these were laying the foundation for a growing spirit of both anti-Semitism in our country and persecution. There's a reason why our country now has been virtually officially divided into so-called red states and blue states. The fear of the Lord has been virtually abandoned totally in the red states. This is why in Colorado, friends, Denver and outskirts of Colorado there, the antipathy toward the Christian faith is so great that they will do anything they can to prevent a Christian even from conducting his business in such a way that is consistent with the scriptures. And they bring them to court over and over again, even against the rulings of the Supreme Court. That's how vitriolic their attitudes are. And what's fascinating about this is that not far from that is what is called America's Mountain or America's Peak. Pike's Peak, it's 14,000 feet. And it's at the top of Pike's Peak where there is a bronze motto celebrating a woman who wrote what some believe should have been America's national anthem. It's called America the Beautiful. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plain, America, America, and so on. God bless America. Okay, well, what was the very heart and soul of her music? America, America, God, mend thine every flaw. God, mend thine every flaw until the all be self-control, thy liberty in law. Beginning with the law of God and the very state from which that was written has repressed and persecuted Christians on and on and on to this very day. And it's just illustrative of what our president has now said. America and Christians are in an existential crisis over persecution. Get a copy of the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. Friends, you don't want to miss it. $22 on our website, saveus.org. Call us. Become a partner, friends. Your gifts, postmarked by the end of this year, will be given credit for the year, if that matters to you. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church, declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.